Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
I'm John Batchelor with Professor Ed Watts, and the book, The Romans, is a 2,000-year history, and we're going to reach all the way up to the smallpox pandemic of 166 A.D. and continue our story another day, because there are several centuries to go. However, we come to a very good second century A.D., very good, because of a man named Trajan, an accomplished general, and his inheritor, a man named Hadrian. These are barracks rooms emperors, and they were dismissed by our forefathers for several hundred years, I think since the Enlightenment. But I find them admirable in that they did what they said they were going to do and maintained control of the empire. Are they considered successful by classicists, Professor?
Yeah, I think these are emperors who very much understand the world that they've inherited and understand where it needs to go. And so what Trajan does is he's inherited this world that Nero started building, that Domitian really enhanced, and that Nerva tried to kind of send back to a sort of paleo-Roman way of thinking. And Trajan took it and without destroying the things that Nerva had done, he just changes them. He makes them work better. The greatest success I think Trajan has is the campaign in Dacia that leads to the conquest of Dacia and then the Roman absorption of that territory.
No easy thing. I want to emphasize this. The Dacians were a cut above anything they'd ever fought at that time.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a very, very brutal campaign. And it's one that actually completely changes the way that that society functions. He also absorbs Arabia. This is something that I think is underappreciated, but that also is a society that is remarkable. This is the Nabataean society that built cities like Petra literally out of rocks by collecting rainwater in giant cisterns. It's an incredible society, and Trajan absorbs that very successfully and in a fashion that very quickly integrates them into the Roman state. The one disaster that Trajan undertakes is he invades Iraq. As we probably all know, invading Iraq from the west without controlling the mountains to the east is a recipe for basically a quagmire. And so when Trajan dies, Rome is trying to figure out whether it can maintain this territory. And what Hadrian says is effectively, no. You know, this is territory.
Hadrian inherits the crown. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Hadrian inherits the crown and he decides immediately we cannot win this war in Iraq. He withdraws, and Hadrian then focuses and is very explicit about the desire to focus Roman resources internally on rehabilitating and integrating and improving the infrastructure of the empire. And so Hadrian travels everywhere across the Roman state and is very adamant about using these travels to bring things to territories that improve the quality of life among the Romans living in these areas. And so if you travel along many of the major cities across the Mediterranean, you'll see Hadrianic infrastructure that was built to make these cities more livable and more functional.
We come to not Marcus Aurelius. He's a subset of a man named, we call Pius. Now, this is not dividing the empire up. This is sharing the empire. Did they, either of them, spend time in Rome together? Was one always out of town?
So when Hadrian dies, he has already identified the person he thinks should be emperor. This is Marcus Aurelius. And Marcus Aurelius is probably the most brilliant and most dedicated emperor that you have. But Marcus was too young to take power immediately. And so what Hadrian does is he tells Antoninus Pius, who is the generation between Hadrian and Marcus, to take power as a placeholder. And what Pius then does is he has Marcus, he trains Marcus to govern Rome while Hadrian does. Well, Pius also governs in, you know, in tandem with him. And so Marcus is effectively running the state as a subordinate and then ultimately as emperor himself for the better part of 40 years. In the middle of this, you know, Pius dies in the early 160s, and Marcus takes on another co-emperor at that point. This is a man named Lucius Verus. And across the 160s, Marcus reigns alongside Lucius Verus, and they have different areas of responsibility that they're in charge of.
Is Antoninus considered a regent, or is that a later invention by the kingship in the West?
No, Pius is a full emperor. He reigns in his own name for the better part of about 23 years.
While training Marcus.
And the amazing thing about this is we have letters that Marcus wrote to his teacher, a man named Fronto, where Marcus says, even within a year of taking power, he's like, this job is burning me out. You know, I have no time for myself. I barely sleep. I have no ability to do anything that I enjoy anymore. And yet he continues doing it for another 40 years because this is Rome and you do what you're asked.
Marcus also has a reputation of always being on the road and always fighting. Is that accurate?
The second part of his life, it is unfortunately accurate. This is not what Marcus would want to do. You know, we have actually a text written by Marcus, the Meditations, where he talks about the sorts of principles that guide his life. And Marcus was a Stoic philosopher who was very deeply invested in understanding and implementing philosophical principles. And so in the Meditations, he talks about how Antoninus Pius was his lodestone. And what he really wanted to do was be in Rome and govern philosophically. But again, there were wars going on that required his presence along the frontiers. And as a good Roman, Marcus did what was asked of him, even though it would be the last thing that he would have chosen to do on his own.
Verus dies before Marcus, and Marcus prepares his son Commodus. But I want to full stop here to review how we got here, because the smallpox pandemic is now spreading across the Roman Empire, and lots of people are dying suddenly. It's a brutal way to die. You die in pain, you die quickly, but it spreads quickly. There's no easy way to fend it off. It just takes tolls. At this point, Rome is considered superior to every other empire that they've touched upon, except one, the Parthians. And that will be the bane of them for the next several hundred years. Does Marcus have thoughts about the Parthians?
So I think, you know, the smallpox epidemic is something that really Marcus struggles with. So there is a campaign that they wanted to fight that he has to suspend, because the smallpox epidemic, when it comes in, it devastates the population. Mm-hmm. Maybe 10 to 20% of the population dies. It had happened because Lucius Verus had actually been fighting in Parthia, and it's thought that the smallpox disease came from Parthia with Lucius Verus's armies. But Verus had actually been victorious. And so I think when Marcus is dealing with smallpox, he's thinking much more about the northern frontier than he is the eastern frontier. But he has a very nuanced view of how you handle this. And so we do see, as Rome's population collapses because of smallpox, Marcus actually sponsors immigration of Germans from across the frontier to settle, even in Italy, in communities to try to repopulate the Roman state. And so I think with smallpox, what we see is the complexity of the challenges that Marcus faced, but also the great resources that Marcus has to address them. And I think it's definitely helped that the Parthian conflict has died down at that moment. But I think those resources and the great skill Marcus has, I think, point to the tremendous resilience of this state at that moment.
What's ahead of us? Christianity, for one thing. The sack of Rome by, not exactly accident, but not witting sack of Rome. sort of invited sack of Rome, the division of the empire, Constantinople, Charlemagne, all ahead of us, and a book that sweeps over the Roman history and tells us how much of Rome is still with us today. I often feel that, Professor, and reading your book, it emphasized it to me, that Rome never died. It's still with us in pieces everywhere. I talk to Milan every week, and they think of Rome often because they were such an important city for the Roman Empire. Do you find it that in teaching, people recognize all of a sudden something lights up in their eyes and they realize they've seen or heard that story before and it's Rome? We have about 30 seconds, Professor.
Yeah, no, and this is, I think, why you can trot out a Roman history course anywhere in the world and you will get 100 people in it. People love it because it feels immediate and connected to their worlds.
The book is The Romans, a 2,000-year history. We've got several hundred years to go. Edward J. Watts will be with me again soon enough. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At CVS, it matters that we're not just in your community, but that we're part of it. It matters that we're here for you when you need us, day or night. And we want everyone to feel welcomed and rewarded. It matters that CVS is here to fill your prescriptions and here to fill your craving for a tasty and, yeah, healthy snack. At CVS, we're proud to serve your community because we believe where you get your medicine matters. So visit us at CVS.com or just come by our store. We can't wait to meet you. Store hours vary by location.